Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome. Welcome to Focus on Females Healthcare Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Steve Maskin, and I hope you've had a good week. Certainly with the economic difficulties that we've had throughout the economy, it's wise to take a moment and to recognize the blessings that we do have, and it all begins with your health. And that's what we're about, is to help you maintain and restore good health. We try and create a breakthrough in your understanding or in managing disorders and diseases for every caller that calls in. Just a couple of examples. Last week, the topic was osteoporosis. And we had a caller from California who was in her 50s who was on Fosamax for early osteoporosis as suggested by a bone density test. And as complex as an office as it can be, with so much information being disclosed and shared, sometimes some information does not get conveyed or received by the patient, of course. Well, it turns out that the young lady with osteoporosis was only taking 400 milligrams of calcium, and this came out during our radio show because, again, we have the golden opportunity to have time to really dissect and dig into the details of everyone's case when you call in. Well, the amount of calcium that you should be receiving, that she should be receiving, is more in the realm of 1,800 milligrams of calcium. And, of course, that could make the big difference between a successful treatment with a Fosamax and perhaps unsuccessful treatment. And, of course, if you have unsuccessful therapy for a condition like osteoporosis, well, that will lead to significant fractures. And the most common fracture site would be the spine or the hip. And, of course, that could be just a life-altering event. So simply by calling in and sharing your personal disease or disorder that you're trying to understand and treat, we can oftentimes identify something that will make a difference, a breakthrough for you. One other example was with multiple sclerosis. A woman in her 50s with multiple sclerosis developed excruciating pelvic pain, and the workup was negative for gynecologic and urinary causes, and she was being treated for years with pain therapy. And gradually over time, it subsided, although unfortunately she had to suffer for many years with this pain. Well, during our multiple sclerosis radio healthcare clinic, with our neurologist here, it came out that exercise is a very important part, even for multiple sclerosis patients, because although exercise can actually increase symptoms of multiple sclerosis, exercise in moderation, however, is important. And for that patient, when she heard that, that was an aha moment for her. Because it turns out that as she reflected on her history, her symptoms of excruciating pelvic pain started to relent, to subside, when she actually changed neurologist and found herself under the care of a new neurologist that actually encouraged her to get some moderation in exercise. And it turned out that, indeed, the excruciating pelvic pain was from inactivity, muscle spasm from inactivity. Well, now she understands that, not only is she celebrating the fact that she understands what her body went through and what she went through and why she went through it, but she also now understands the importance of maintaining some moderation of activity and exercise through the rest of her life. And again, in doing so, this will significantly decrease the risk of a return to that excruciating pain. So this is what we're about, and we're here for you. Feel free to call in and ask your questions. And for the newcomers, as always, we are the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, and we're brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create this interactive health safety net to make you a lay expert on your own medical problems. And we do that through two educational programs. First, of course, is the radio program you're listening to now, as well as the yearly symposium, which is in March of every year. We're now planning for our fourth annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium. It is to be held on Saturday, March 21st, 2009, at the Tampa Convention Center. And together, these educational programs will enable you to better partner with your existing physician, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We create immediate impact to help save lives and protect families. Now, this day, today, we are going to be tackling sleep disorders. And with me is my good friend and guest and sleep disorder expert, Dr. Stephen Kreitzer. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation.
Now, excuse me. Steve is a nationally known lecturer and educator in sleep medicine. He is certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine, American Board of Pulmonary Medicine, and the American Board of Sleep Medicine. He is a 1971 graduate of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, where he also did his medical residency. He was a major in the medical corps for the United States Air Force, stationed at MacDill Air Force Base from 1974 to 1976. He completed his pulmonary fellowship at Harvard University in 1978. He is former chief of medicine at Memorial Hospital in Tampa, and the former chief of pulmonary medicine at the St. Joseph's Hospital. He is currently chief of pulmonary medicine and chief of sleep medicine at Memorial Hospital, and he has been in private practice since 1978 and the author of dozens of research articles in the area of pulmonary medicine. He has conducted over 110 clinical trials for the United States Food and Drug Administration, developing new therapeutics in all areas of medicine. He is currently a lecturer at the University of South Florida, Tampa General Hospital Sleep Medicine Program. Now, let's talk about sleep disorders. Steve, what is top three sleep disorders that you run across in your private practice here in Tampa?
Well, the top three sleep disorders would certainly be obstructive sleep apnea, restless leg syndrome, and narcolepsy. There are a total of 84 sleep disorders. But before we focus on a specific disorder, there are some habits in daily life that work against good quality sleep. And we like to eliminate poor sleep hygiene to see if there truly is a sleep disorder or just some functional abnormality in the patient's behavior.
What do you mean by sleep hygiene?
When we talk about sleep hygiene, we talk about those activities that help sleep compared to those that work against sleep. For instance, if we exercise late in the day, if we eat meals late in the day, if we use alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, if we sleep in a non-restful environment, those habits work against sleep. The problem with nicotine and caffeine is that they bring stimulants, which during the night will keep one an individual awake or cause them to arouse and become awake. Activities such as exercise or eating late in the day will raise the body's temperature maybe a half a degree, and that's enough to stop the initiation and the maintenance of sleep.
That's interesting. So your body's sleep temperature, what if you're if you have a fever, a low-grade fever, would that potentially interfere then with your sleep ability?
Yes, it can work both ways. An illness can be very fatiguing, and certainly above 102 temperature will increase sleep, where below 102 may work against sleep.
Okay. All right, so the sleep hygiene, you reviewed several items that can interfere with sleep. Are there more items that you can list?
Yes, there are people who have difficulty with sleep by the nature of their bedroom. The bed becomes a stimulant to them to stay awake, where it should be a clue, a hint for the brain to go to sleep. So if there's pets in the bed, laptops, children in the bed, if the bedroom is well lit, if TV's on or there's noise and music, all those activities in the bedroom work against sleep. As we get older, we can't get away with that anymore. We have to see the bed as a place to sleep. Therefore, if you wake up during the night, instead of watching the clock, which is an activity against good sleep hygiene, we get up, we read a book or listen to music or the sounds of nature, and then we go to sleep only when we're sleepy.
It's interesting because the way you describe the importance of the sleep or the bedroom environment suggests that perhaps a return to the old days of home visiting or visiting the patient in their environment could actually be a great help to patients who don't have experience in really analyzing what is about their home or their the areas that they do sleep that can cause a breakdown in their ability to get quality sleep.
That could be part of it, along with detailed sleep questionnaires that we provide. And we often provide it several days before they come into the office so they could think about their sleep and talk to their partners and other members in the family to see what's observed. Are they snoring? Are they not breathing in their sleep? Are their legs kicking and they become aware after this conversation that actually their bedclothes and their pillows are on the floor because they kick all night and no one ever mentioned to them.
Now, I know that you have a sleep laboratory where people come and you analyze their sleep, but I guess there really is no other way to identify the problems with their own home under present conditions without actually being there. I mean, patients don't photograph their homes. They don't have a video camera in their home that they would set up in their bedroom. Is any of this feasible in a practical sense?
It is feasible, and you'd be surprised how many people have brought in tapes of snoring, tapes that their bed partners made of the activities of sleep, of sleepwalking, sleep talking, and that plus the questionnaire certainly gives a very, very complete picture.
All right. We will be right back with more on sleep disorders on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. I'm Steve Maskin with Stephen Kreitzer. Thank you.
Do you have pain after shingles? In most cases, pain from shingles goes away after the rash heals. Sometimes, however, the pain persists. This is a condition called postherpetic neuralgia. If you are 18 years or older and had shingles more than 3 months ago but still have pain, you may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study. Qualified participants may receive study-related medication and a physical exam at no cost. Call Dr. Margarita Nunez at CNS Research, 727-576-8474. That's 727-576-8474.
Winter. Winter's almost here, and we know what that means. Not snow shovels. You live in Florida. It's time for patio furniture. Time to enjoy cooler, sunny days on your lanai. Head over to Patioland USA, Tampa Bay's outdoor furniture superstore. Shop for sofas and chaise lounges, dining sets, and bar stools. Patioland USA's 14,000 square foot showroom is just a mile east of 275 on Bears. Visit PatiolandUSA.com or call 813-632-8070. 813-632-8070.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Steve Maskin, and we're tackling sleep disorders today with my guest expert, Dr. Stephen Kreitzer. On the line, we have Sandra from Tampa with the first question on sleep disorders for today. Hi, Sandra.
Hello there.
Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you very much.
What is your question today?
My question is, if you've successfully been through the sleep center with great improvement, is there a possibility that the combination of the drugs you're taking could still affect your sleep, and they could either be changed to different timing or changed to a different prescription?
So the drugs you're talking about in this case is are the drugs that are being prescribed for non-sleep disorder problems.
Right, correct.
Okay, Steve?
Right, that's a very important question. Not everyone has to go to the sleep lab. Of the 84 sleep disorders, only 4 or 5 of them require analysis in the sleep lab. And I would assume from the question that we might be dealing with sleep apnea and someone who might be using continuous positive airway pressure.
If I can interrupt a second. Sandra,
mm-hmm.
Do you have a diagnosis of your sleep disorder that you were given after your analysis in the sleep lab?
Yes, correct, I do.
And what is that diagnosis?
Well, I do have the apnea, and I do have a medical machine, which is wonderful.
Okay, is that the CPAP machine?
No, I have a BiPAP machine.
Okay.
It's the same as like the CPAP, except it has to do both.
Okay.
But it's the drugs. My question related to that is, with all that improvement that happened through Sleep Center, is there an effect that the drugs that you're taking could be shifted to morning from night, or the things that you take combined for that plus other problems?
Okay, Steve?
Right. Again, the patients with obstructive sleep apnea who might be on CPAP or the bilevel positive airway pressure, as you mentioned, may have cardiac, pulmonary, neurological problems, and most of those products do not necessarily interfere with sleep. A very big concern of patients with obstructive sleep apnea would be the drugs related to pain or sedation or at post-anesthesia after an operative procedure, because those drugs can selectively depress the muscles of the pharynx, the muscles involved with keeping the airway open, and make sleep apnea worse.
What kind of do you know the class of medications you're on, Sandra? Or what you're
I don't know the class, but I'm sure I can ask the question later, not now. But I don't have them all in front of me. I don't have any from recent surgery or anything like that in terms of pain pills. Oh. So that's the main thing he's clarified.
Okay. All right. And you don't remember the name of the medications right
no,
now?
No. Okay. There are 11.
Okay, you're on 11 different. And what kind of medical problems do you have?
Well, and most of it was related to sleep apnea. I also have a congestive heart.
Okay. Were you able to eliminate some of the medications now that you're on the BiPAP machine?
Yes. I have eliminated some and balanced others, and we've cut back some of the others. So
okay.
I think I'm not taking the ones that the doctor mentioned would be negative towards slowing down breathing.
Okay. If you like, feel free, if you get your hands on your medications, to call back and share them with us. And we can look a little deeper into the specifics of those medications and try to help you.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Very
Thank
helpful.
You.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Okay. Also on the line from Tampa is Janet. Janet, you're on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic with Steve Maskin, my guest, Dr. Stephen Kreitzer. You have a question on sleep disorders.
Actually, yes. The earlier caller just gave me another question I wanted to ask. My first question is related to menopause, and can that disrupt your sleep? And if so, how?
All right. Let's tackle that one first.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And at the annual symposium of Focus on Females, we often cover sleep in women, and because there are phases of life during pregnancy, during menopause, when sleep is definitely disrupted. There are a number of phases of sleep, the two superficial, stage 1 and 2, stage non-REM 3, is a very important phase of sleep where our memories are laid down, our concentration and learning are processed by the brain, and the final stage, of course, is REM, rapid eye movement sleep, where we dream, and there's total muscle relaxation. But that stage 3, or non-REM 3, which used to be called stage 3 and 4, is disrupted during aspects of the menstrual cycle and during menopause. It's disrupted and very vulnerable to changes of estrogen and progesterone levels, requiring women to get certain rest, exercise early in the day. Are there helpful tips for that?
And Steve, so let me just clarify something. So menopause does impact the sleep, in the quality of sleep, especially there's one stage of sleep especially that it affects, and that there are things that the woman can do to remedy that. Is that correct?
That's correct. The aspects of life that are disrupted by disruption of stage non-REM sleep that we see in aspects of the menstrual cycle and a menopause can affect memory and concentration. It can affect mood. It can make the mood uneven.
Okay.
And this is a natural physiological effect.
Okay, we'll be right back with more on menopause and sleep disorders. We've got a great topic here. We'll be back in a flash.
choice for intelligent talk. Bennett, Gallagher, Prager, Medved, Hewitt. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. Still more work to be done in Iraq. That is President Bush's assessment in his last trip to the war zone as president. He made a surprise visit to Baghdad this morning and has been meeting there with Iraqi leaders and U.S. troops on the ground. The White House is not expected to make an announcement before tomorrow on a possible rescue plan for U.S. automakers. That is the word from the White House today. Officials are considering ways to offer emergency aid to General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. Scandal-plagued Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich could announce tomorrow that he will leave office. That's the state top legal officer talking. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan told NBC-TV's Meet the Press program, quote, "We have heard there is a possibility that tomorrow he will make an announcement where he will step aside." What exactly that means, she says she's not sure. And about 650,000 homes and businesses still in the dark in the Northeast after the ice storm. More details at srnnews.com.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 18 years and is board certified, fellowship trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2008 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com. And if you've not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
My kind of town, Chicago is...
If it isn't the most corrupt state in the United States, it's certainly one hell of a competitor.
Corruption and scandal grips the state of Illinois.
Governor Blagojevich has taken us to a truly new low.
And the aftermath could affect the nation.
Tried to sell the appointment to the Senate seat.
Now, more than ever, you need the truth.
Thoroughly disgusted and revolted by what they heard.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Redecorating on a budget? Looking for that perfect missing piece but don't want to overpay? The Missing Piece has just opened in Clearwater. It's not a thrift shop. These interior pieces are like new. The Missing Piece is also accepting quality, gently used furniture on consignment. Sofas, tables, dining sets, chairs, bedroom sets, and art. Reuse, recycle, redecorate. That's The Missing Piece. 28200 US 19 North Clearwater. Or call 727-726-2100. 727-726-2100.
Mmm.
studio lines are open. So get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Janet, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Well, we are talking about menopause and sleep disorders. And before the break, Dr. Kreitzer went into describing that indeed there is a relationship between sleep disorders and the menopause, and there's a particular aspect of the sleep which is impacted. My question, Steve, is what symptoms, and you started to touch on these, what symptoms would one be troubled by if indeed they're having a difficulty with menopause-induced or related sleep disorders? I think concentration was one of them.
Well, concentration, memory, and fatigue, and a sense of having some emotional swings.
Okay.
And often the woman can improve the situation with afternoon naps, making sure her family contacts are a little bit more understanding. At night, the symptoms may be difficulty in the initiation of sleep and the maintenance of sleep. And the most important thing, again, goes back to what we discussed early in the show, improve sleep hygiene with early day exercise, avoiding caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol, avoiding pre-sleep stress, making sure the bed is a stimulus to sleep without a lot of activities, such as laptops and pets in the bedroom. And this can also be helped with early morning sunlight to help set and stabilize the biological rhythm.
In regard to, you said early exercise? You specified early.
Well, usually before 4 in the afternoon.
Okay. So it could be in the morning or in the midday.
Yes.
Exercise. And has there been studies or the particular sense that you have as far as what type of exercise is better than the other, how the length of exercise?
No. As long as there's about half hour of cardiovascular and about 20 minutes of weight training.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's see. Now, Janet, I think, does that help? Does that give you some insight?
Yes, it does. I have another question about that, though. What kind of medication, if any, is there Ambien or something you can take at night if you're having difficulty that you would recommend?
Okay, that's a very good question. And I would say, just as a general statement, that sleep specialists are the least of all the physicians to prescribe sleeping pills, because we often try to find out the underlying reason and use whatever natural techniques and activities, products that are out there. During certain periods, certain situations, because menopause doesn't last forever, it is appropriate to try the lowest milligram product, whether it's a Tylenol PM or a low dose of sleeping pills such as Ambien, for a very limited period of time. These medications are not designed to be lifelong, and we don't want to see someone become habituated to them as the years go by. It's very frustrating to me to have a child, age of 40, 50, 60, bring in their 70 or 80-year-old parent and saying that they're worried about dementia or Alzheimer's, and you check them out and find out that the level at 2 o'clock in the afternoon of their sleeping pill is the same of what it should be at 2 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and that any symptoms of concentration and memory are based on the habituation to that sleeping pill.
So what you're stressing is that the emphasis should be applied to non-pharmaceutical therapies.
Non-pharmaceutical therapies should be the emphasis, but the pharmaceutical therapies
reserved,
second choice.
Reserved in
a second choice.
Only when necessary.
Right. If someone goes through 2 months, 3 months already, and they're having difficulty in the maintenance of sleep, the initiation of sleep, the mood change, the concentration of memory, we certainly would try the medication for a limited period of time if the over-the-counters didn't work.
Like the Tylenol PM.
Right.
Janet, does that help?
That helps. I have my last question is this, and Sandra touched on it earlier. 3 months ago, my mother had a cardiac arrest. Luckily, she was 1% of people that survived it. they found out she did not have heart disease at all. But what she did have is she had congestive heart failure, which was caused by, they think, a virus that attacked her heart through one of her bronchitis or asthmatic episodes. My question is, since she's had her defibrillator implanted, she has very poor sleep. I know she's on a lot of medications to lower her blood pressure even more and her heart rate even more. Is there something that I can tell her that would help?
Well, first of all, we're glad your mother made it through the episode. I think that we could have the medications reviewed. There are some of the products that are used in heart failure, such as the beta blockers, can interfere with sleep. The timing of taking the medications in the day, sometimes the diuretics causing cause increased urine flow at night is disruptive of sleep. And many of these patients who have heart disease have obstructive sleep apnea. There's a very critical component of why obstructive sleep apnea is such a major player in causing heart attacks and strokes in our society.
Do you know, Janet, if your mom's been evaluated by a sleep specialist?
I don't think so, but I would think because she is overweight and she has lost a lot of weight since the episode, I would think her cardiologist would have mentioned something to her, because I do know that she does snore a little bit. She helped me when I had new babies, and she snores.
Yes.
So I don't know if she's been evaluated. I don't think so.
Do you know if she awakens in the morning feeling rested, or?
I think she's tired most of the time, and that could also be due to the way she feels now, because they said her ejection fraction is only 20 to 25% for her heart right now. So she can't do the things that she used to be able to do due to the congestive heart failure.
So, of course, what you'd like to do is to reverse those things that are reversible, and sleep disorders may be one of those items that are reversible.
I think it's appropriate to take a minute to talk about the relationship of the heart and the ejection fraction with obstructive sleep apnea. When we talk about sleep apnea, we think about in the neck, the pharynx, the muscular tube. It's not a steel pipe that goes down. It's a 30 muscles control the opening, the passageway through which we breathe, through which we eat. And the muscles help direct everything to the right place, the air to the lungs, and the food and the liquid to the esophagus. And although all the muscles of the body do relax, and the deeper the level of sleep, the more the muscles relax, people with sleep apnea inappropriately over-relax those muscles. So if you go from stage 1, 2, 3 into REM sleep, and the muscles of the pharynx relax, then the walls get floppy, which will make a snoring sound. Or the walls might momentarily touch, and that's apnea. In other words, you're perfectly capable of breathing, but you just shut the door. Now, if that lasts more than 10 seconds, the body will detect a slight drop of the oxygen level, and there are some body defenses that occur to restore you back to normal and end that apnea. There's a defense involving what's called the sympathetic nervous system, and we all have heard of adrenaline, which can kick you out of deep sleep to light sleep, and that airway opens up again, and the apnea is over.
But as you said, but it changes your deep sleep to light sleep.
Right. And then this event occurs 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later. Next morning you wake up, and you've had the superficial sleep. You've missed the deep sleep, the deep restorative sleep. So it can affect memory, concentration, make you an unsafe driver. I've seen jobs fall apart and marriages fall apart over this. But that's the neurological effect. There's a cardiac effect, which is we're concerned with your mother, because at night is when the heart rests, a slow pulse, a low blood pressure. But if you're having the apnea event with the drop of oxygen and the burst of adrenaline, we're going to bump up the heart rate, raise our blood pressure in sleep. That contributes to heart and the arteries, a big player in strokes and heart attacks. You may know that at Tampa General Hospital, there's a very good cardiologist, Dr. Debbie Hoffman, involved with transplant. She has told me that we had looked at 6 of the 19 patients waiting to receive a heart transplant at Tampa General. Those 6 had the sleep apnea. We fixed their sleep. Their ejection fraction doubled. They're no longer on the transplant list.
Wow.
So it can be a significant improvement of the ejection fraction.
Well, Janet, this is a really exciting opportunity perhaps for your mom to be evaluated. It certainly sounds like there's some risk factors there, overweight and the symptoms of sleep apnea, such as non-restful in the morning. Excuse me.
Right. The risk factors that Dr. Maskin alluded to, no matter what doctor you see, should be addressed and taken care of. The 9 key risk factors in the development of atherosclerosis, or heart in the arteries. So now we're talking about heart attack and stroke prevention, kidney failure prevention, would be obesity, stress at work, a sedentary, non-active lifestyle, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, gout, cigarette smoking, and obstructive sleep apnea. Those are the 9 big players. If we have them, we address it, we fix them, we get them off the table.
Excellent information. Janet, do you have a follow-up on this?
I think that's pretty much covered everything.
Well, I hope your mom is listening to the show. If not, we will have a podcast placed on our website, and she'll be able to listen to it. But it certainly sounds like an excellent idea to have an evaluation, and it may save her life.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, on the line from Wesley Chapel is George. George, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Do you have a question about sleep disorders?
Actually, yes. This relates to the previous caller. Just got off the phone just a moment ago.
Right.
And I would suggest, personally, from my experience, that she does have her mother evaluated as quickly as possible. My question is, though, is that why are not more cardiac doctors aware of the relationship to sleep apnea and cardiac problems? It seems like the two medicines don't talk almost.
Yeah, in fact, during the break, Steve and I were talking about how sleep disorders almost feels like a newborn baby in the world of medicine. And when I graduated medical school in 84, and there was no such discipline such as sleep disorders. So, Steve, would you comment, when has sleep disorders really come of age? When did people start talking about sleep disorders, and what can be done to educate our colleagues about sleep disorders?
Well, it's only within the last 50, 60 years that all the stages of sleep have been recognized, and certainly in the last 10, 12 years, sleep medicine as a specialty with academies and board certification covering the 84 sleep disorders, the physiology of sleep research into it. And the last few years, as George mentioned, more of a relationship with the other specialties. It happens that more and more the cardiologists are becoming aware of the issues, but also anesthesiologists are becoming aware of the issues. Someone might come into the operating room, an elective knee surgery, arthroscopy, a common procedure, at 7:30, at 8 o'clock, they're not breathing because they had undetected sleep apnea or another sleep disorder, and they received anesthetic, sedative, hypnotic, pain medication, all things which worsen any sleep disorder.
It's funny you say that. As an eye surgeon, I had cases. One case in particular comes to mind with a patient with obstructive sleep apnea, and it was a challenging case. I was reconstructing his eye. He required a corneal transplant and a few other items, but it was very important that he not go into sleep apnea or obstructive sleep apnea during the surgery, as it would increase the risk to the eye. So I did a few things. I was talking to him through the whole case. I asked him what type of music he enjoys, and then what type of music does he find appalling. Well, we found a radio station which disturbed him such that there was no way he could ever even consider falling asleep and resting. And so, long story short, it was a successful surgery, but I kept him awake through the whole surgery, and I consider that a significant part of his treatment during that operation, is to basically keep him part of the team to get an excellent result for him. So sleep disorder certainly is something that is increasing in awareness as the impact on the individual. But in my experience, Steve, it does take a few years, even when things are significant can provide a significant impact to the quality of life. It just takes a few years to the information to disseminate widely. Is that your feeling too?
Right, I would agree with that. In fact, many of patients with certain of the sleep disorders that relate to excessive daytime sleepiness, such as narcolepsy or idiopathic central hypersomnia, they go through neurology, they go through psychiatry before they work their way to a sleep specialist. And the problem is that if these areas are not correctly diagnosed, some of them are genetic, you find other family members, and more and more treatments are available now. If we don't have that, then the patients are not fulfilling their life or their life's potential. And I don't know which one of them is going to come up with the alternative energy source and change our planet. So we want to make sure everyone's taken care of.
Well, and that also, like I was saying, relates back to something else that Dr. Kreutz was talking about, the rush of adrenaline to the heart, you know, which can affect cardiac patients as well, you know, if you have sleep apnea. And I don't, and like I said, going back to the initial suggestion that I was making in regards to cardiologists not really understanding the connection there with sleep apnea and dangers to the heart.
Right.
I don't, you know.
So you're wondering what could be done
to bring out that. I mean, quite frankly, I've been on a CPAP machine for 3 years now. I've been a cardiac patient for about 12, 15 years. And nobody brought to my attention, I happen to read it in Reader's Digest, the connection between sleep apnea and heart problems.
And George, we'll be right back with more on sleep disorders on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We'll be back in a flash.
Winter's almost here, and we know what that means. Not snow shovels. You live in Florida. It's time for patio furniture. Time to enjoy cooler, sunny days on your lanai. Head over to Patioland USA, Tampa Bay's outdoor furniture superstore. Shop for sofas and chaise lounges, dining sets, and bar stools. Patioland USA's 14,000-square-foot showroom is just a mile east of 275 on Bears. Visit PatiolandUSA.com or call 813-632-8070. 813-632-8070.
Do you have pain after shingles? In most cases, pain from shingles goes away after the rash heals. Sometimes, however, the pain persists. This is a condition called postherpetic neuralgia. If you are 18 years or older and had shingles more than 3 months ago but still have pain, you may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study. Qualified participants may receive study-related medication and a physical exam at no cost. Call Dr. Margarita Nunez at CNS Research, 727-576-8474. That's 727-576-8474.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. George, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Wait, George, any final closing thought you have before we move on to the next piece of discussion on the sleep disorder?
Just in closing, I would suggest any cardiac patient, have a sleep study done.
Excellent suggestion. All right, thanks very much, George,
and thank you.
Thanks for listening and calling in.
And thank you, Dr. Kreitzer.
Okay, the next thing, Steve, I wanted to ask you about is the amount of sleep necessary for the average individual.
The average individual usually needs between 7 and 8 hours sleep. Probably 100 years ago, people slept more. Before there were electric light bulbs, the day got dark, you went to bed. In this modern world, it's a 24-hour world with ball games going to midnight and 24-hour stores open all the time. And shift work has occurred. People work 7 to 3, 3 to 11, 11 to 7. And a lot of that affects the sleep. It takes a lot to adjust to shift work. And in fact, there's a medication recently approved for helping people maintain concentration and memory when they're in that changing shift work situation. There's also jobs that require naps, and we were part of the recommendations to NASA and the Air Force, and now the big crossing Atlantic commercial flights, crossing the Pacific flights, there were some prescribed naps within the cockpit, the navigator, the pilot, and anyone else in the cockpit, encouraging and forcing nap times for safety.
Excellent. Okay, we are just wrapping up now. This has been the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today we have been tackling sleep disorders. And my guest has been Dr. Stephen Kreitzer. And Steve, it's really been a pleasure to have you with us today. And I do hope that Janet will take this information back to her mom. The information you shared could very well save her life. And thanks once again for being with me.
I appreciate the invitation.
Next week on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, we'll be tackling Alzheimer's disease. Next Sunday, right here. It's great that you're listening, but it's even better to call in with your questions. We'll see you next week. This is Steve Maskin.